Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the last episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast this season. Not ever, he's not so lucky. I'm doing this week by Tom and Donnie. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. How you doing, Donnie?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
Cheers, cheers. Right, so we'll first go to the winners of a couple of competitions. The league winner is Conquering Lions, Robbie Dempsey. That was their own personal league. I believe that's him won the league two in a row, which is quite incredible. I know maybe not won the mega league, but he's won a league with 600 people in it this year, 400 people in it last year, and he won it back to back. So that's quite impressive. And he regularly takes part in our cup competition. So well done, Robbie Dempsey. We maybe have look to get you on next year if you're interested. And Cup winner, half of Frank's book out, was Barracuda, with like five or four A's in there. He gets on special to celebrate. He won the Half of Frank's Podcast Cup and the Mega League, and he is a Swiss native, so he doesn't get any basic knowledge of the Scottish game, and he smashed it. So you get quite a lot. Congratulations for Sunday night. Once again, well done, Barracuda, and we hope you stick around next year and play. Again, if you are interested and English could be your second language, you can win the podcast. Otherwise, you need a translator, I think, because you can support four or five different people on it. Right, so we'll go to own scores and final rank for the season. I'll go first. Finished on 83 points, used the bench boost chip, which did not work for all the rotation. I'll start with the bench boost. I got 1 point off it, Gordon. So the 83 points came from Gordon, one goal, Edwards, three, Kingsley, nothing, Clark, six, Ralston, captain, 18, Levitt, four, Furuhashi, 26, vice-captain, Ferguson, six, Mackay, two, Henderson, three, and Maeda up top for 13. Took me to 83 points overall. Bench boost will not be used in the last game week either again. It'll be used in a double game week somewhere down the line, and that gave my final rank was 166. Donnie.
Okay, so a lot of rotation this week. I finished on 79 points. So I had Gordon in goals for one, Sands for two, Devlin for one, Harry Clark for six, Ralston for nine, Captain Jota for 20, Vice-Captain Furuhashi for 26, Ferguson six, Diallo two, Mackay two, and Sims for four. So that's 79. Took my global score up to 2330. Which gave me a final position of 19th. So inside the top 20, far and exceeding of what I could have hoped at the start of the season. So really happy with that.
Bob, yourself?
72 points in all. Gordon in goal for one. Ryan Edwards got me 3 points. Kingsley, nothing. Harry Clark, six. Carter Vickers, six. Nicky Devlin, one. Vice-captain Furuhashi for 26. Captain Yotta for 20. Ferguson got me six. Mackay two, and up front Mullen for one. My overall rank in the Mega League was 236.
Is that down from last season?
I can't remember.
I'll try to work out with it. I was 1.6k last year. I took to the game really slow. Gunnar finished quite high, I believe. I just don't know what you finished, Tom. I couldn't remember. I was actually going to go back and check the notes, but I can't remember. But anyway, right now, that's out of the way. Your thoughts for next season then, rank-wise, what are you thinking? Don, I'll start with you, because you also finished really, really high, so 19th, so you can improve on that next year.
It would be really difficult. I'm not going to try and kid myself on and aim for top 10. I feel fortunate to finish inside the top 20. I mean, anything, if you look at the names, then they keep popping up. Anything inside the top 100, top 50 is a real, real achievement. I mean, you probably noticed yourselves, guys, that even just the folk around you, you know, even by 1 point, you probably jump 5-10 places. So it's really close. But I think for next season, if I can stay inside the top 100, then that, I would consider that good. I mean, obviously, I want to finish top 10 better when I am, but I've got to be realistic.
Yourself, Tom?
Probably happy with top 100, considering this season. So
I think you finished pretty high last year, but I think you finished pretty high. I just can't remember what it was, but I think you finished pretty high.
I'm trying to load up the season history, but it's not happening.
Yeah, it's not been loading for ages.
I don't think because they went to a different platform this year. I think you kind of lost it unless you kept going. Right, well, myself, as I said earlier on, 1.6k last year to 1.66 this year, so it's a great improvement. But at one point this year, I was sitting 23rd, so I'm kind of a bit peed off. I didn't kind of take it for there, but that's what I said to my Celtic treble midfield that I'll not be doing again. It just totally backfired rotation. And at one point, I was well outside after that, back in 300 and on, nearly 400. So you could climb back up into 166, I suppose, I'll take. And like yourselves, I think top 100 next year is going to be a target. Again, you've got to keep on trying to improve. The game's going to change slightly next year. So again, we won't really know what we're doing next year. Tom, you said to me you didn't think the points, this year really much a difference overall.
I didn't think I've had too much of an impact. There wasn't really any players we were flocking to that were, you know, getting lots of points for interceptions and tackles and things like that. So, I don't know, possibly a rethink on that. The bonus points were good, though, because if you picked your right captain, then getting six bonus points in total was pretty nice.
Yep. Any add to that, Donny, points?
I've done a little breakdown just for your own reference. So Barracuda won the league on 2.462. That averaged out at 64.7 points per week. So nearly 65 points a week he was taking in, which if you break that down again, it's almost 6 points a player. So I know you've got your captain and your vice-captaincy, but the consistency level there was unreal. I averaged 61 points, and Peter, you were 58, and Tom, you were 57. So still respectable scores. But no, it's been a good game to play. I think the bonus points have made a difference, like you say. Just gives a little edge if you can get the right captaincy, vice captaincy there. So no, it's been good.
Good. See you at the cheek next year. I like the back to Barracuda again, obviously because they won the cup. I mentioned before the cup started off. I tell people look at your rank at the start of the cup, because it's 7 game weeks. Look at your rank at the end of it. If you get to the quarterfinals, semi-final, then obviously you're going to rise. So he's also played the game an absolute blinder at the end because he finished strong. He was top with 7 weeks to go. And he just kept on blowing out the park, beating people. And I think I went back and checked. I think there was only one or two rounds where he'd been beat by a high score. But early on, if he'd got the luck of the wrong side of the draw, but apart from that, he blew out the park. So congratulations. And as you said, an average 6 points a player. I mean, he must have been on players at the right time. I mean, the Metis would be returning 1 point or 2 points. But
yeah,
again, well done. So I'm not going to delve too much into next season because we don't know who the lay of the land. We will be covering that once we see what we've got. Well, there's quite a little through the results. If any want to add, Tom, we've got no Tom things. There's really no point. There's nothing to look for. There's no transfers, captain pick. I'll let Donny come in after this with a couple of stats and funny things he's got. So on the Saturday, we had Celtic 6, Motherwell 0, Hearts 1, Rangers 3, Ross County 1, Dundee 2. And on a Sunday, the league wrapped up with Aberdeen 0, St Mirren 0, Hibs 4, St Johnstone 0, Livingston 2, Dundee 1. So we lost Dundee, and we're definitely getting Kamara next year. That's all we know right now. That could change still. So what have you got, Donny?
So for the Saturday game, it's pretty obvious that we're going to hammer Motherwell, trophy day and all that. So seeing the lineup, it seemed pretty obvious to me. Jota and Kyogo was the way to go. So it depended which way you did it, but they both paid off. And it was all the big names, getting the goals, getting the assists. So for me, it was you know, pretty hard to miss out on points this game. The only thing I've noted is it'll be interesting to see the price point of a lot of Celtic players next season. Obviously, they're the champions and they do have the premium assets. So it'll be interesting to see how that one falls.
Get that?
Yep.
Right, you can jump straight on your start your thing. You want to do a comparison because Tom has got none here. Tom's got no time.
All right, at all. Oh, that's I was going to talk about Rangers as well. I thought you were going to go through
everything. No, but you go school, you go everything you can talk, then you go. Go.
Well, Rangers was probably the one game that caught everyone out because Hearts fielded a full strength squad and Rangers fielded the reserves. So it was a difficult one to judge. I went for Sands and Diallo. I probably should have gone for Lowry because it's a player I've talked about in the last few weeks. If you watch the game, you can see why there's a lot of people talk about him. He's an exciting young prospect. But Hearts probably thought they could batter Rangers ahead of the cup final. And when they went 1-0 up, they probably thought they were in. But I think a lot of their players were just playing not to get injured and keep legs ticking over. I don't think Boyce is too much of a worry. I think he's still been doing press conferences and that ahead of the cup final, so he should be okay. But Rangers just wanted it more. And, you know, the youngsters that were on the pitch had some real bingo numbers in there. I think it was 54 and 56, 60, you know, 60 plus on there. It was good for them. And one stat that I mentioned on the group chat at the weekend, that was Cedric Itton's first goal of the season. So he's added Hearts to the list of teams he's scored against, which includes Real Madrid, Bayern Munich and Sterling Albion. So that's not a bad CV.
That's a good pub quiz question for Daniel.
He's not played much. So for Rangers, next up Seville. I'm sure you will both be cheering them on.
I wasn't on the agenda. The release was done.
Not really. I actually forgot that Ross County and Dundee United were playing. I was so excited with the Rangers and Celtic goals coming through. I forgot that they were even playing. But I doubt anybody had anybody of note in that game. Aberdeen finished off their season pretty much as it's been. Didn't have anything going on there. Andy Constein's last game. He's been there for 19 years, so a lot of folks had to see him go, probably in the manner that he's gone, kind of been dumped by the club. But I think he'll probably end up at Cove Rangers. They're in the Championship now. I think that would be a good fit for him. They signed Mark Reynolds as well last year, so they have quite a lot of experience at the back. So maybe see him there. Go around and watch him. But it's been pretty disappointing for Aberdeen. Had it not been for Dundee, they could have been in a lot more trouble. Other highlights is we've lost Mark McGay, and I don't think that was a surprise outside of his one victory.
You had the latest on this?
No.
Gavin Stratton's odds are shortened to get the job at Dundee.
Oh, I heard that, yeah.
talk about nepotism.
So, yeah, it was not much there. But a good weekend of football. There was a lot of points up for grabs. A lot of people played their triple captain and they just held on to it. And, of course, Celtic was the team to cash in on and, you know, folk made a lot of points. I think that affected my rank overall. A lot of folk leapfrogged me because they were on Furuhashi or Jota and got the triple points there. But as I say, I'm not going to complain with my finish. Top podcaster, I think we worked it out as. So John Guthrie Cup winner, 19th. It's all going on the Twitter bio.
On the podcast for 2 minutes, Tom. What's that like? Right.
So, yeah, that's me as far as the games are concerned. So if you've got anything else to add, on you go.
No, after the games, Tom, anything seen interesting?
No, I just once to watch for next season, probably James Scott Hibbs and then the young boy at Rangers that you mentioned.
Yeah,
because he signed a new contract, didn't he? So you'd imagine he signed a contract with the agreement they'll have a pathway to the first team or some sort of game time. So I imagine he'll be there. Plus, you're going to quite a lot of turnover, I think, so he will be probably integral. But interesting to see.
Yeah. And that's what it needs. I mean, Celtic are the same. It'd be quite like Ralston probably had an exceptional season. I don't know if that would have been expected. If you give these guys a chance, they can't prove that they're up to it. I think you can put too many players out on loan. And it doesn't really work out a lot, but you know, give them a run, see how you get on, and then sell them for millions like we did with Patterson.
Yeah. And just on what Tom said, I think there's going to be so much turnover next year, there's really no point in. I mean, Aberdeen and St Mirren, new managers, expect a complete overhaul. Hibs, again, a complete overhaul, whoever they bring in charge. St Johnstone, I don't know what's going to happen with him. I don't know if Callum's going to, if he manages to stay up, I think funny thing, if he keeps him up, he just walk away. Because what else can you do? Lost many players. Livingston, no doubt, every year seems to always have a big turnaround anyway. Mm-hmm. I think Celtic will strengthen their squad. Motherwell, I mean, that's the moment we've done it with that team. perhaps if they're going to try to play in Europe, they're talking to him. Who was the United striker last year? Meant to be trying to sign him as well. He went to the Belgian team, Shankland.
Oh, yeah.
So I've played for him and then it's before us. So they're going to try and improve their team for Europe. Rangers got a big turnover as well. So you imagine they're going to try to improve their team again for another title challenge. Ross County, I think they've got a lot of players on loan as well. And Dundee United, I think Dundee United might be the only team where Tam Courtsman proved a lot of people wrong this year. He's built a good, solid team of a lot of youngsters. I think around 11 academy players came through this year and played. And they've finished fourth in the league. So that's good. Yeah, he builds on that with these players. They could become good assets. But again, it's where the game prices them because they've now finished fourth. Do they get priced because they finished fourth and they maybe be priced because they want to go for the cheaper mid-table assets, try to find our bonuses like a Ross County team or like Charles Cook and things like that? Right, Donny, have you got more stuff?
Yeah, so we're just going to look at the overall points for the game, do it by position and then some of the other kind of goals, assists, etc. So
right.
Probably no surprise who was the top goalkeeper in the game. Any guesses there?
Yeah, go first, Tom.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be Gordon, isn't it?
Yeah, Gordon. And number two, Peter?
Just don't think most clean sheets. Joe Hart?
Yep, Joe Hart. So Craig Gordon, 159 points. Joe Hart was on 147. And taking up the third spot, Tom?
McGregor?
No.
I think he played off games at the start. Strayek, Livingston?
No, it was Anik. 126. A bit further back. I mean, Joe Hart, you don't really want to tie up your Celtic assets with the goalkeeper, but yeah, he was pretty consistent. No point in asking who the top defender was. We all know Mr. Tavernier, Captain Fantastic. Who do you think was second, Tom?
Deep thought.
I know.
Greg Taylor?
Nope.
Right.
Peter?
I think, this might just be recency bias, I think he scored quite a few goals in the end of the season. Is it Carter Vickers?
It is. And third, while you're on it?
Coulson?
No.
No.
Tom?
Bassey?
No. No, you've done yourself a disservice there. It was Ralston. So James Tavernier on 252, Carter Vickers 170, and Ralston on 160. I think if we were to do a team of the year, Ralston probably gets in there. A lot of folk got sidetracked with Juranovic in the middle of the season. He was taking pens and you know, getting the clean sheets, but Ralston's probably had a phenomenal season.
He did rotate out the squad and come back in then. So yeah. Just move on to the next position, see on Tavernier. What's both your thoughts? Jake Tavernier should have been the priciest player in the game. I know he's a defender, but that's 2 years in a row and he has had the most points. It's not like doing the FPL game where they also do midfield, your Salahs, and then you go for your Canes. If any of the defenders... But if Tavernier is consistently the 2 years in the trot, I think he should be the highest priced player in the game. What's your thoughts on that, Donny?
No, I agree. But then, even at 8 million, you're probably still going to buy him.
This gives you that option where if you've... Let's say nobody leaves any of these teams, right, and you're working with the same scores next year with the same the money-wise, can you really stretch to have an 8 million Tavernier and 8 million Morelos and have your rest of your squad been half-decent? I mean, it gives people a choice to make. I think it stops the template being formed so quickly. That's just
100%. You do have to give folk a dilemma there, but you know the way strikers have been this season, you know, two budget strikers is probably more than enough. I think he's a must-have. You're going to lose so much ground to the opposition if you don't have him in. I think price is almost irrelevant. He'd be the first name in the team sheet, and then you just work around it.
What's your thoughts on Tavernier price tag, Tom?
Yeah, I think they probably should make him the most expensive.
Aye.
I think it would happen in FPL as well. If there was a season, it was like Trent Alexander-Arnold, you know, had like a fantastic season, then he probably would be, you know, double digits, 10 plus million. So,
I want to say that to Rap. I want to see that happen. I want to see so people got an option because see, the thing is, we have said before, the people will be casual who turn up and start the season, just buy them and just cap them. So every week, your average scores just. It's not right sometimes because there's zombie teams with him still captain, but I think they make a point and make us all have a choice to make next year. Right, Donny, back to you for sidetracking.
So we're moving on to midfield. This was a lot closer thought position. It was just nicked in the last game of the season. So, Tom, who's the top midfielder in the game?
Furuhashi.
No, didn't even make a top three.
I think he missed too much time.
Yeah.
Right, I'm trying to work out where this could be. I'll just go Jota.
It was until Sunday. Lewis Ferguson over
the field. There we go, close.
Power of the penalties. So Ferguson was 186, Jota was 185, and taking third spot, Peter.
You can kick?
No.
No?
Tom.
Kent?
No, it was Aribo. He's gone off the boil recently.
Aribo? I'm surprised that I picked that.
He did have a real purple patch before Christmas. But he has gone off the boil. The next one is where I find it fascinating. So we'll move on to the forwards. Who was the top scoring forward in the game? Tom.
Morelos.
Okay, Peter.
He didn't say no. See, it was all quite tight at the end with goals and top goal scorers and that. And I don't know if maybe Giamakis just nicked it at the end. So Giamakis? No.
So coming in with 150 points is a player who last scored in game week 26.
Is it Morelos?
Only scored one goal for his current club. It was Tony Watt. Tony Watt is the top scoring forward.
That just shows you how little the strikers have influenced this game this year.
We had Morelos is in second place. He last scored in game week 28. Obviously, he's been injured, so can't really see much about that. Third place, and it's not one we've mentioned so far. Peter, do you have a guess at who took third place?
Anderson.
No. Tom?
Van Veen.
No, it just shows you how random it is. Ramirez. Again, another player last scored in game week 26.
And got sent home early.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, is it all?
133 points.
If there's one less that we learn there for next season, then guys, just go budget up front until something goes nuts, there's no point. Because how much money we spent at times on Morelos, because he quite enough to start the season, didn't he? He didn't really start fast.
He was really slow. It was only...
Yeah, and then Kyogo was out of position. That might be the only thing next year, because he probably positioned properly and probably got a price rise. Then Giamakis, who I don't think will be as pricey that next year if Kyogo's first choice. And then I think, as Tom said, we've both agreed. I just need to see where all everyone kind of settles next year, or transfers or squads, before we can make a point for that.
It will be interesting, because Celtic will obviously have the Champions League, which is a lot harder to navigate than some of the other European competitions, so they will rotate more. Maeda, Giamakis might see less game time, so it'll be interesting. So the total points overall, with Tavernier played out in front, 1-2-5-2. Lewis Ferguson's next place played in the game, 1-8-6, and then Jota, 1-8-5. So it's quite interesting to see the points there. I'll just quickly read through the other sort of areas rather than quiz you. So Regan Charles Cook took the top goal scorer. With 13. He was level with Giamakis. I'm not sure how they break the two. Furuhashi was third with 12. But again, Charles Cook hasn't scored for weeks and weeks now, but he's certainly boosted his own profile, so he should get a good move ahead of that. Assists was Tavernier with 14, Barry Mackay 12, and Jota 11. So some pretty steady, fancy names in there. Mentioned already, clean sheets was Hart with 19. And then Gordon with 12. Gordon with 14, McGregor with 12. Saves, Gordon made the most saves, 128. But he wasn't far behind, was Liam Kelly and Motherwell. Mm-hmm. I think Motherwell offered a bit more defensively. That's an area you could have looked at. And then Anik, showing why he was third overall with 114 saves. And finally, if we move on to bonus points, which was an addition this year, Tavernier romped it with 37 bonus points, Jota on 28, and Morelos on 28, which is probably that purple patch that we were talking about. So, interesting stuff there. Pretty standard names featuring, and as you say, the forwards were just a lottery at the end. But that was that. So I've just got some fun head-to-heads to finish off in the last game week. So first off, we have got Ryan Christie, who Celtic sold in the summer, versus a Jetty, who do you think got the most points out of those two? Tom?
Yeti?
Peter?
I'll just go the opposite then, Christy.
Well, there's only 2 points in it. Christy scored 20 points. I think he must have had August, the games in August, and the Jetty got 22. So it was a Jetty that edged that one. I imagine he'll be getting sold, punted, sent back home in the summer.
He's still got a couple of years of his contract. That's the only thing he's close to.
He'll be sitting there. He'll be sitting tight for a while, yeah, I think.
Keeping the bench warm. So next up, we've got Dundee Bad Boys, Jason Cummins and Lee Griffiths. So who do you think came out on top there? Tom?
Cummins.
Peter? I'm sure I've seen Cummins' name pop up more on the app than Griffiths.
I get there was only 1 point in it, and it was Jason Cummins took it by a point, 33-32. Jason Cummins is Dundee's third top goal scorer. So shows you the issues they've had this season. I think he scored 3 goals and that made him third top. So we've got my own team next. Aberdeen's own Ryan Jack versus teenage sensation Alex Lowry. Tom, who do you think's come out top in this one?
Ryan Jack.
Okay, Peter?
See, he missed a lot of season, but he just plays in that position that he just chugs with 2 points. No, Ryan Jack. I think he's played enough. Ryan Jack.
No, Lowry, 20 points to 18. I think Jack has been unlucky this season with his injuries. A lot of his good performances have also come in Europe. But Lowry, just in the 2 games that he's had, has racked up enough points. So move on to ownership next. 2 to go. Ownership is a battle between Regan Charles Cook and Kyogo Furuhashi. Tom, who's got the highest ownership?
Charles Cook.
Peter?
Can you repeat that again? Because my phone went, I'm not going to lie.
So it's an ownership battle between Charles Cook and Furuhashi. Who's got the highest ownership?
Oh, I would say Charles Cook.
Yeah, not by much. 29.7 plays 29.4. So yeah, I think come Christmas and a lot of people had Charles Cook and then maybe went off the game while Furuhashi was out injured. So last one. We've got fantasy favourite Martin Boyle, shots on target. Has he had more shots on target than UEFA Cup finalist Ryan Kent? Tom?
Yes.
Peter?
Is that because you're thinking that, Tom? Because you want it to be... No, I think...
It's kind of like Hibbs Talisman at the start.
I think Boyle had a really good purple patch.
Point, a couple of hat-tricks or a couple of braces. So I don't think Kent's not really scored many at all this season.
I'd use the same logic. I think Boyle's been more hot and Kent has been not as effective in the league, better than Europe, I think. So I'd go Boyle.
There was only 1 point in it, and it was Kent. I just threw that in as a curveball at the end. Kent has had a poor season by his own standard. However, his best performances have probably come in Europe. And hopefully that bodes well for Wednesday. So that just wraps it up. Just thought it'd be a fun stats to look at the end. So yeah, that's it.
That just shows you the game. And it's also sometimes the bias in your head. You think this and you think that, and it's like...
Yeah.
We talked about it before where you had done your dive in Ramsey and we were all thinking Calvin Ramsey will come good, he'll come good. But I suppose that's what it is. Yeah. Anything else to add, Tom Ennis? Because we're nearly at the end of the podcast for the last one of the season.
No, nothing from me.
Starting a blog next year, Tom?
Me? No. One's enough.
Too busy. Right. I'd just like to thank all listeners, anybody who's interacted with us, give us questions, downloads, and brought over last year. Thanks, Donnie, for joining the podcast this year. He's come in to go for Gunnar, and he's been excellent. Thank you, Tom, again. You've been like my wife for the second year running here. It's been good. It's been fun. I think the community is growing. I can look at our numbers as the downloads, and from the start of the podcast 2 years ago to now, it has steadily went up over certain points, and it's never declined in it that way. So I'd like to think seeing Fee would even more again. I've not really had to think about it yet. I have maybe a couple of ideas for next year things we can do to make the podcast, I wouldn't say better, because it's quite good. Just different way we do things. We're going to add, Donnie's going to do some sort of FPL team. We haven't decided what he's going to do yet because he's not going to take it on too seriously. Maybe just like a zombie team, or he listens to me and Tom's 5 minute advice in the podcast and make moose there and see what he can get. What we'll add is every year we start with a cup. Last year it was, this season it was the John Guthrie Cup, which was named after obviously a good player from the season who's departed the league. Donnie is a champion, so next year the cup will be called something different. We'll have to wait and see which players depart the league first. We'll do a poll, obviously, and people can name the cup. But what we'll say is, what we'll say what happened last year is it's an invitational cup, and people get invited to do podcasts, like do threads on the fantasy football, make tickers. So if you want to get involved in this cup early on, I suggest you do these kind of things, like good or done a good youngster or a good cheapy thread. Me and Tom also are podcasters, people doing, like Maz was doing a Hearts thing, Sotty was doing the ticker, Maz done a ticker as well, done a different kind of ticker, all different podcasts. So just something to think about once it starts coming in the zeitgeist again, probably come early July. If you're interested and you want to do something to help the community, get involved and you make yourself invited to the first cup of the season. And that is me. Anything else to add, guys, before we head off? There's probably 2 months of downtime. Dory?
No, I'd just like to say thank you to you both. I've really enjoyed working on it initially as a guest and then getting the spot full time. My exact words when you asked was, yes, we need more Rangers content.
Yes, that's true.
I think Rangers went on to lose the next two Old Firms and had to sit and talk about it. But no, I've really enjoyed it and I've got absolutely no doubt that my finishing position was as a result of working on these pods. But, you know, there's a lot of work goes into this. You know, you're recording once a week, twice a week. You're doing your cups, and Tom, you're doing your stats and stuff. So, you know, I think on behalf of the listeners, which I was to begin with and still am, probably a big thank you to you both for your hard work. And you can watch Rangers in the Cup Double next week.
You have to waste it at the end. Mutual partner back. Help yourself, Tommy,
Dad. No, I'll just echo what Donnie said. His rank was obviously much better than mine, so I had to take your advice and listen a bit harder. So that's what we did next season.
Right, okay, we're heading this up. Don, you enjoy the game Wednesday.
I will do.
I don't want you to enjoy it that much, but you enjoy it. I think for my own sake, I better go a certain way, and I'm going to have a hellish summer. But then it is what it is. That's part of a football fan. So again, guys, thanks for joining. Tom, Donnie, Broit, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll be back probably sometime in July, early August to start covering with the price reveals and that. And again, thank you for listening. We'll see you again. Goodbye.
Bye.
Serves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.